Hotel Mars. Episode M. I'm John Batchelor. We're outbound to Mars. Well, our robots are. Two robots, in fact. One, Mars Maven, launched on the express train, the two train, or the three train, going to Brooklyn. And the other, a local, the IRT local. I'm using New York City subway metaphors for those of you who are not in the subway right now. That is launched by the India Space Program. It has an Indian name, but Mr. Livingston, Dr. Space, instructs me to call it Mom, because everybody does. David, a very good evening to you. David's dropping out a little bit. He's moving around. Everybody's moving around tonight. It's Thanksgiving Eve. We're headed to Mars with two robots to study the atmosphere and to look for methane in the atmosphere and some signs of how Mars lost its atmosphere. But that was then. This is now, and we're joined by Robert Zubrin. Robert just returned from Russia. Robert is the president of the Mars Society. He's also the author of The Case for Mars. And writing most recently in USA Today, Robert is educating us that there is great, great concern for getting to Mars, a manned mission to Mars, and it's not all in North America. Robert, a very good evening to you. A happy Thanksgiving to you and to your hounds, Tesla and Kepler. A wonderful Thanksgiving in Colorado. The Russians want to go to Mars. Do they want us to go with them, or do they want to go on their own? Good evening to you, Robert.
Good evening. Well, there's a lot of people in Russia that'd like to go to Mars, and they'd be willing to go alone, but they'd be delighted to go with us. I met a lot of people there in the technical community and among ordinary people. People of goodwill towards the United States, people with a lot of talent, a lot of technical skills who could add a lot to this mission. But I got to say, I also met some people who have other ideas on where they want to take the world and who really want to take us back into the Cold War or worse, and not just about space or even having anything to do with space. We need to move right now to invite Russia to join with us on a Humans to Mars program in order to draw them into the West. The cost of a Humans to Mars program would be a drop in the bucket compared to the cost of a new Cold War.
David, I hope we have you back on the planet Earth. Go ahead to Robert.
No,
David, we do not have you back. I beg pardon. Robert, we'll get that signal figured out because while people are still on the planet, we've not figured out communications, which we can do very easily to Mars, although it's a couple of minutes. Robert, you mentioned the Cold War. I'm going to set that aside. And you mentioned costs. I'm going to set that aside. What is the point? What is your ambition? What do the people in Russia, Canada, India, Europe, what do they want from a manned mission? Because as I introduced, we have two robots outbound now that are going to do wonderful exploring. So what could man or woman do on the surface?
Well, open up Mars as a new frontier for humanity. Mars is the closest planet that has on it all the resources needed to support life and therefore technological civilization. So yes, there's great scientific discoveries to be made about Mars, whether life evolved there, but there's another question, which is a discovery about what's going to be the nature of the human future. Are we going to be a multi-planet spacefaring species, or are we going to be forever bound to the Earth? And I think that a lot of Russians, like Americans, see Mars as a new frontier.
This new frontier, we've got to sell it, Robert. And you've been talking very articulately for years, and you've been heard by sympathetic ears. However, we have to deal with the governments now extant who are very reluctant to fund to anything to do with big space. They're looking to make profit, and that's good. Private space is profitable, but that's about near-Earth orbit and even geosynchronous orbit, nothing beyond asteroids, I believe. Then and if they ever take a manned mission to the asteroids, it would be about mining. Can we sell Mars as a profit-making center?
Well, if you want to sell to people who are just looking at this in the near term, you think of Mars as an investment in intellectual capital. In any country that decides to participate in this effort in a serious way, the Humans to Mars program is going to be an invitation to adventure, a challenge to every young person in the country. Learn your science, and you can be a pioneer of new worlds. out of that challenge will get millions of young scientists, engineers, inventors, technological entrepreneurs. These are the kinds of people that move the country forward. If you want to know about the short-term payback, that's where it is. And if we can do this together with the Russians, there's going to be another immense short-term payback of avoiding a hostile situation, which some people over there are trying to engineer. They're trying to convince Putin that to preserve his power, he needs to create hostility so that xenophobia can support tyranny.
We did very well in the space race in the 20th century. Got us a whole lot of robots built. So it's not entirely a negative if we do that again. But the asteroid belt is beyond Mars, and that is a profit center. Can we sell Mars for mining? Have you looked at that? I understand you've got very careful plans for Martian colonies. That would be subterranean if we were on Earth, but I have to be careful here. Sub-Martian. But can we extract resources? Can we use this to build, to colonize? Those are the immediate questions that legislatures are going to throw up in the hearings.
Well, you know, when the colonists first came to America, to Jamestown, they were looking for gold. And even, I believe, when they went to Plymouth. And now, they didn't find any gold in Jamestown. They did eventually discover that they could grow tobacco there, and that was a cash crop. And they didn't find any cash, anything to speak of, in New England. But what we managed to develop by colonizing America was a new branch of human civilization that invented electricity and the telegraph and the light bulb and recorded sound and aeroplanes and motion pictures and nuclear power and all the, and computers and iPhones. And in other words, when you create a new branch of human civilization, you create something that's worth much more than some gold extraction or platinum extraction or anything of the kind. You know, the Spanish actually did found gold in America in, you know, Aztec vaults, and they managed to take it. And all it did actually was ruin their progress towards becoming a developing commercial and industrial civilization by getting the quick buck. There may be resources to be extracted from asteroids. There may be resources to be extracted from Mars. But the real gain is going to be a new branch of human civilization that will add its share of invention and creativity to the human story.
You've convinced me, Robert, but I'm going to push you a little bit, all right? Because you're also talking about working together with nations that are not exactly compatible right now in the 21st century. You mentioned Russia, but I would say that Japan has its own problems and Europe goes in five different directions. We see the present negotiations are very difficult with to do profit on Earth and dealing with hostile powers in the Middle East. So can we yoke these space agencies? Are they exempt from the prejudices of their own governments?
Well, not completely exempt, but also they are, especially in Russia, a significant part of conditioning the views of the government. And I think a joint program with Russia is the key towards pulling Russia into the West. We don't want to be having a conversation 10 or 15 years from now, who lost Russia. This is of immense importance. And the reason why I pose this in the article in USA Today, a joint program with the Russians, it's not that I want to exclude Europe or Canada or Japan or China. They should all be invited in. But the key thrust here is to bring in the Russians together with us, make them feel they're part of a partnership of the A-team. Okay, because, you know, Russia right now is a country that thinks it has something to prove. And that's why Putin is throwing his weight around, trying to muscle Ukraine and so forth. If this is a very dangerous thing. It's like Germany between the wars. And there's a potential here for a very unhealthy development, and a way to steer Russia in the right direction is to invite them to join with us on a grand Humans to Mars program such as I described.
One more idea. We have a private space that is vibrant right now. SpaceX, I could go through it. You know them very well, Robert. And they're testing, and I believe SpaceX is on the eve of putting something into geosynchronous orbit using their Falcon 9. What about using our private space and connecting with the entrepreneurs in Russia, bypassing big space and, you know, those who drag around their swords with their medals together, just bypass them all together?
Well, First of all, yeah, I think very highly of SpaceX, and there's no doubt that the kind of technology and the approach to technology that SpaceX has developed can greatly reduce the cost of a human's Mars program. Okay, you know, I spoke at Skolkovo out there near Moscow, which is an institution set up jointly between MIT and some Russian educational institutions that teaches both engineering and entrepreneurship. I think, why isn't there a Russian SpaceX? You've got the talent. You've got people here with capital. Why not pull together? Well, you want to know something? The reason why there isn't a Russian SpaceX right now is because the Putin government has a habit of confiscating the companies of people whose assets they covet. And that is a major deterrent towards entrepreneurial development. And if Putin wants to have a Russian SpaceX, he's going to have to reform Russia. He's going to have to respect private property. He's going to have to put those protections in place. That's what they're going to need. By drawing them into a program like this, we're going to teach them that power requires freedom.
Robert Zubrin, president of the Mars Society, author of The Case for Mars, writing in the USA Today. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Hotel Mars, Episode 8.